to get ready for a deep dive into a case that'll have you kind of questioning what voluntary really means in the eyes of the law.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about State v. Alvarado, an Arizona Court of Appeals case
Interesting.
that has some pretty big implications for how we think about contraband in jails.
Right.
You might be surprised to learn that just because someone is brought to jail involuntarily, it doesn't mean they're off the hook for, bringing contraband in with them.
Yeah, that's a really it's an interesting area because it kind of highlights that tension between individual rights, right, and then the need for security within these correctional facilities, for sure.
Got it.
And the Voluntary Act requirement is a cornerstone of criminal law, you know. It's kind of, we see it everywhere. But this case, State v. Alvarado, really pushes us to think about the nuances of that requirement, you know, in a very specific context, the context of jails.
So picture this. Alvarado gets arrested during a family dispute call. Not exactly a planned trip to jail, right?
No, not at all.
During a pat down, police find marijuana in a pipe.
Okay.
But here's where it gets really interesting. Even after being warned multiple times about the consequences, Alvarado denies having any more contraband.
And this is where his actions, or rather inactions, I think, start to paint a clearer picture for the court.
Oh, interesting.
Despite having, you know, multiple opportunities to come clean, he chooses to stay silent.
Right. And as they say, what happens in the dark comes to light, right?
Exactly.
During booking, more marijuana is found.
Oh
And
no.
Alvarado even blurts out, "Oh man, I worked hard for that chronic."
Wow.
I mean, talk about an epic facepalm moment. Can you
Ugh.
imagine being his lawyer and hearing that?
It certainly doesn't help his case.
No, I don't think so.
But it does solidify his knowledge and intent, right? He knew he had it and he knew it was
So
prohibited.
he gets convicted at trial, which you'd think would be the end of it.
Right.
But then the trial court acquits him, saying that he didn't voluntarily take the marijuana into jail.
What?
Hold on. How is that even possible?
Well, I think the trial court really focused on the fact that, you know, Alvarado didn't choose to go to jail. And their logic was that, well, if he didn't voluntarily go to jail, then he couldn't have voluntarily brought the contraband in.
Okay. I see where they're coming from, but that seems like a pretty narrow interpretation of the law.
It is. And that's why the state appealed,
Makes sense.
because they argued that the trial court got it wrong
Okay.
and that the focus should instead be on Alvarado's choices once he was already in the system.
Right. So the big question then becomes, did the court get it wrong?
Right.
Does promoting prison contraband really require someone to choose to go to jail with those items? Or is it more about what they do once they're in custody?
I think that's the crux of the issue here. And the Arizona Court of Appeals had a very different take on the situation. They actually reversed the trial court's decision and reinstated Alvarado's conviction.
Wow. So they basically said, tough luck, you knew what you were doing,
Yeah.
but how did they justify that legally?
So legally, they really drilled down into Arizona's definition of a voluntary act.
Okay.
And it's not as simple as you might think.
I was going to say, let's unpack this voluntary acting a bit more.
Right.
What exactly did the court say?
So they said a voluntary act doesn't necessarily mean you wanted to do something, but rather that you made a conscious choice. In this case, Alvarado's choice not to disclose the marijuana, despite having those multiple chances, was considered a voluntary act under the law.
So even though he was arrested and taken to jail against his will, his decision to stay silent about the marijuana was still considered a deliberate choice.
Precisely. The court really emphasized that being in custody doesn't negate your ability to make choices, right? Alvarado knew he was going to jail, and he made a conscious decision to hold on to the contraband even when he could have avoided further trouble.
Yeah, that's a tough break for him.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense legally.
It does.
But wait, couldn't Alvarado argue that being forced to disclose marijuana would violate his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that a pretty solid defense?
It's an interesting point, and I'm sure his lawyer probably tried that angle, but the court saw it differently. They argued that Alvarado's silence wasn't compelled testimony. You know, he wasn't being forced to speak. It was a strategic choice not to reveal the contraband.
So the court is saying the Fifth Amendment protects you from being forced to talk, but it doesn't protect you from the consequences of choosing to stay silent.
Exactly, yeah. The Fifth Amendment prevents the government from forcing you to incriminate yourself, right?
Right.
But it doesn't give you a free pass to hide evidence. The court basically said you have the right to remain silent, but that doesn't mean your silence can't be used against you in certain situations.
Okay, that's starting to make sense. So in Alvarado's case, the court felt that his silence was more about hiding the marijuana than exercising his Fifth Amendment rights.
Right, and the court went on to highlight another important factor here, foreseeability.
Okay.
They argued that bringing contraband into jail is a natural and foreseeable consequence of possessing illegal substances during an arrest.
I mean, that seems pretty obvious, right? If you're carrying drugs and get arrested, chances are you're going to jail.
Exactly. The court was essentially saying, don't act surprised when your actions lead to predictable outcomes.
Right.
In their view, Alvarado should have known that being arrested with marijuana could lead to him bringing it into jail, whether he wanted to be there or not.
So this Alvarado case is clearly a game changer when it comes to understanding how the law views contraband in jails.
Yeah.
But what does it all mean for the average person? Like, how could knowing about this case actually help someone in a real-world situation?
That's a great question, and this is where things get really practical. If you or someone you know is ever facing a similar situation, understanding this case could make a world of difference.
So, in a nutshell, if you find yourself in a sticky situation with the law and you happen to be carrying something you shouldn't be, fess up.
It might feel counterintuitive, but yeah.
Okay.
Disclosing any contraband before entering a correctional facility could significantly improve your legal standing. It shows a willingness to cooperate, and it demonstrates that you weren't intentionally trying to sneak anything in.
Right.
Think of it as a way to mitigate the potential consequences.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like ripping off a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Better to get it over with quickly than to let it fester.
Exactly.
But let's say someone is adamant that they didn't know they had contraband on them.
Okay.
Maybe a friend slipped something into their bag without them knowing, or they genuinely forgot they had something in their pocket.
Mm.
Does that hold any weight in court?
It certainly could, but it's a tricky argument to make, right? Remember, the prosecution has to prove that you knowingly possessed the contraband.
Yeah.
So if you can convincingly demonstrate that you had no knowledge of the item, it could potentially undermine the state's case.
So ignorance can be bliss, at least in some legal contexts?
Yeah, in some.
But let's be real, that's a tough defense to pull off.
It is.
I imagine it's a lot easier to convince a jury if you come clean right away than to try and claim you had no idea that illegal substance was in your backpack.
Absolutely. The more proactive and transparent you are, the better your chances of avoiding a conviction or minimizing the penalties.
Okay, so we've established that State v. Alvarado set a pretty significant precedent in Arizona.
Right.
But how does this case stack up against other jurisdictions?
Okay.
Are there states where bringing contraband into jail is treated differently, especially in cases where someone might claim they were forced into the situation?
That's a great question, and it highlights the fact that the legal landscape isn't always black and white.
Right.
There are definitely some interesting variations in how different states handle these types of cases.
So basically, what flies in Arizona might not fly in, say, California or New York.
Exactly. Some states have laws that specifically require the intent to introduce contraband into a correctional facility.
Mm.
So simply possessing it during an arrest might not be enough for a conviction in those states.
Interesting.
The prosecution would have to prove you actually intended to bring it inside the jail.
That's a pretty big difference. So what you're saying is that someone could potentially get off on a technicality depending on where they're arrested.
It's not quite a technicality, but yes, the specific wording of state laws and how those laws are interpreted can significantly impact the outcome of these cases. It's a good reminder that legal precedent isn't always uniform across the country.
Okay, so for anyone listening who might be facing a similar situation, what's the key takeaway from this Alvarado case?
I think the biggest lesson here is that voluntary possession of contraband, even if you're brought to jail against your will, can have, you know, serious legal consequences.
Yeah.
The Alvarado case is a stark reminder that your actions really do matter, even when you're in, you know, a difficult or unexpected situation.
Right. So even if you feel like you're caught between a rock and a hard place, it's crucial to understand how your choices can impact your legal standing.
Absolutely. And I can't emphasize enough the importance of seeking legal counsel if you ever find yourself, you know, facing these types of charges.
Yeah.
A skilled attorney can really help you navigate the complexities of the law.
Right.
And ensure your rights are protected.
Well said. Better to be safe than sorry, especially when it comes to legal matters.
Couldn't agree more. The law can be a labyrinth.
Oh, for sure.
And having a knowledgeable guide can make all the difference.
Well, folks, there you have it. Another deep dive into the fascinating world of legal precedent, complete with, you know, unexpected twists and turns. We've gone from a family dispute to a trial court acquittal and then back to a conviction.
Right.
It just goes to show that even seemingly straightforward situations can get complicated quickly.
It certainly does. You know, the State v. Alvarado case is a perfect example of how legal principles can collide in unexpected ways, right?
Right.
It forces us to consider the nuances of voluntary action, the right to remain silent, and, you know, the responsibility we all have for our choices, even under challenging circumstances.
Yeah, exactly. And it highlights the importance of understanding how the law works, both for legal professionals and, you know, anyone who might find themselves navigating the justice system.
Well said. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to protecting your rights and making informed decisions.
Absolutely. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive.
Sounds good.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and as always, we'll see you in the next episode.